There's an identity crisis that we're confronted with right now. And our true ID is in our DNA, which is the breath of your mouth, which is the word you speak. You will speak. Let me say it this way, and we can all attest to this. For a long, long time, we have spoken what somebody else thought. Because the teaching, whether I do it or you do it, or whoever does, begins with a thinking process. And so we think, we read certain books and certain chapters and certain, and out of that, what we read, we develop a mindset. And so when we go to preach, we'll preach what our mind has developed. It may not be in the heart. See, that's why I said again, if the mind doesn't filter before the heart gets it, there ain't no telling what we might say. Here comes the spirit of truth that will bypass every faculty except the mouth. Can I say it like that? The spirit of truth that he said, the living word said, I'm going to send to you, and he, the spirit of truth, is going to guide you into all truth. Now he said another, he said, he is going to bring to your remembrance all things. That made me know I had forgotten something that I need to be reminded of. Yeah. And if you look at the word regeneration, renewing, reborn, that means there's an original somewhere. That means I was original somewhere, and something got lost in the metric somewhere, and I've got to be renewed. And I'm renewed by remembering. The scripture says this. Be ye transformed. How? By renewing. Well, do you suppose, and now we're on tape, so I will, do you suppose that we've always had the mind of Christ and we forgot about it? And so we blamed whoever, whatever. It doesn't matter why. The fact is now we know that it happened, and we're now determined to get our true ID back. Yes. And I'm going to tell you what I heard in my spirit just now. We're going to get our true ID back by the DNA coming out of the mouth. There is a word now. We call it trumpet. It's a word. It's a message. To breathe on you and tell you in that breathing, receive ye the Holy Ghost or your true DNA or the true spirit that you really are. Yeah. And when you understand who you are, you won't care what people think about you or say about you. It won't matter. Who cares? Really? See, the renewing, being born again, that's been the most misconstrued setting of scripture that I ever preached in my life. You gotta be born again. So come to the altar, shed a few tears, say, God, I'm sorry. I got caught with my finger in a cookie jar. I ain't gonna do it no more. And he knows and you know when you said that you lied. You'll do it again. So a month from now, you're back at the altar. saying the same thing to the same God that didn't hear you the first time you talked to him. Man, I pounded on the altar. But we did not. Ignorant. Not knowing. Man, don't tell me I'm a dead serious. I had an experience right after the Lord apprehended me. I had a 1950 Mercury. Twin fog lights. Twin spotlights. Twin mirrors. Twin radio antenna. Sun visor. That thing, mud flaps, we call them in those days. Man alive. Overdrive. V8 with overdrive. That's the most beautiful car this cotton picking kid ever seen in my life. Man, that was the one beautiful automobile. And I was working two jobs to get it. I heard the preacher talking about tithing. I didn't like him. But he didn't like the idea. I'm working. Hey, dude, I'm working for my money. Why don't you go work for yours? That was the answer. But I didn't know. I wouldn't do it. Oh, I'd give 50 cents to the Sunday school class and 50 cents to the missionary offering. And in reality, there would be probably 10% of my income go in the church system. And I just rebelled. On the way to work one morning, I made a left turn in front of a public transit bus. And he hit me broadsided. And all I could hear was squealing tires and breaking glass. I don't know how many times I spun around. I don't have no idea. But when I finally stopped spinning, my Mercury was in shambles. I wasn't hurt bad. The first thing I heard, and I know now, I don't say it was the voice of God, but it come from a guilty conscience. You'll pay your tithe now. But it came from a conscience that didn't know truth. And I heard the age-old saying, well, God must be trying to get your attention. We need to forget that when God don't try anything. And he don't have to wreck your Mercury automobile to get your attention. He can if he wants to. But there's been so many things happen to us because we haven't known who we really were and why we were here. I tell you, I preached for 40 years of my life not knowing why I was here. All I knew was one day I was going to go somewhere else. And I knew this. I knew some of them told me that if I didn't do it just right, I was going to go somewhere I didn't want to go. But they would tell me there's another place, but they didn't know where it was at. I mean, you're talking about an ignorant bunch of ignoramuses. Y'all been there too. I mean, so here comes regeneration or renewing or remembering. Yeah. It's all the same thing. Remember. 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 I don't need you something. If I can find it, I got on the computer and my typing, and that did what just brought to my attention about remembrance. And I heard Preston Neeby 3 or 4 years ago speaking about remembering. And I'm sitting there, man, he's rattling my cage, everything in me. I'm alive because the spirit in me recognized what he's telling me. And he may be presenting a stranger to me, but inside of me, there's some kinfolks in there that know that stranger. There really is. So I wrote this. Remembrance is not a creative thought. You can't create a thought to remember. or a desire to make something take place. Now let me say this. Remembrance is not a creative thought or a desire to make something take place. It is an acknowledgement of something that has already taken place. Remembrance comes before manifestation. You cannot remember a thing unless it has already taken place. And it is not subject to laws of reason and hope. Hope ain't got nothing to do with it. And reason got no place in it. It's beyond every law of hope or reason. But you can't remember something that has not already taken place. And so renewing is remembering. Renew, be ye transformed by the renewing. There's three words that the word metamorphosis, we've all used it. And one of them is translation. One of them is transformed. And the scripture said this, Enoch was translated. Remember? Translated. What do you do with a foreign language that you don't understand? You translate it. And it says Enoch was translated. He literally touched something that he didn't understand, which is the outer covering of the Word of God. And when he translated into the Spirit, the life of that translation was what took Enoch. It said God took him. Oh, and he was not. Where did God take him? Did he leave terra firma? I doubt it. Let me say this. Anytime you read this and you always relate it to somebody else, you'll never know that this is all about you. It ain't about Moses. It ain't about Jesus. It's about who I am. It's about me. But if I am not able to translate it and take it out of its outer form and go inside and break that shell and get the life that's in there, I won't never really know who I am. I'll go to meeting after meeting after meeting thinking, oh, hallelujah, glory to God, I'm a Christian. You don't even know what a Christian is. I ain't a Christian. I'm just not. Now, you can be one if you want to. I don't care. See, Christianity is not a thing in the world, but Egypt. Christianity, we have known it in the thing world, but Egypt puts you in bondage. Can everybody say amen? Christianity, as we have known, is Egyptian bondage. There was no sin in Egypt. There was bondage. It wasn't a land of sin. It's a land of bondage. Land of bondage. And you're going, we're not naive enough now. We know now that we were in a land of bondage as Christians. But he said this about, he said, I'm going to raise up one like your own brethren. Everybody said, oh, that's Moses. Oh, it might have been Moses. But that's a stranger, or that is a truth that's coming to our house. That is taking us out of every bondage that we've ever known anything about. And I don't know about you, but folks, I'm ready to go. I got my walking shoes on. So he was translated. But it says this, before that, he had this testimony. He pleased God. That's what it says. Now, do you think that he was a literal human being and that just applied to him? Or do you think maybe that was an allegory that could be him but also be you? I'm going to say again, if you read this just and relate that to Moses and Noah and good old brother Paul, he did this, and old brother, he did that. As long as we do that, we're not translating the truth. It's a foreign language to us if you read this just like this. Let translation get in there and you'll take the spirit of it. And I heard this, and so I'll share it with you. Remember the alabaster box? Man, that thing was valuable. I don't know how much it was worth. What'd you say, 300 pence? Something like that? But you see, the box had the treasure buried. You look at the box, you knew nothing about what was inside. She did. You look at this, you know nothing inside. The alabaster box and the ornament represents the old covenant and the life of it. The life is not in the letter. The life is in the spirit. Here's what he said. He said, God has made us able ministers. How did he say it? Not of the old covenant, but of the New Testament. So the able minister of the New Testament is able to translate the written word and open the alabaster box and see the precious ornament or the spirit or the life that is in it. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. I'm supposed to be standing up, man. I tell y'all, this is awesome, man. And see, nobody's ever broken the alabaster box. And you see, your true DNA is that part that you don't see. I think I shared this with some of you. Maybe all of it, I don't remember. But I was in a meeting in Texas. And a Choctaw Indian brother, who later became a good friend, full-blooded Choctaw. And he knew I was Choctaw, but he also knew I was Cherokee. He said, "You bad. You got a bad mix. Cherokee and Choctaw, bad stuff." But I said, "Oh, I got a little bit of French. I'm able to love." He said, and I said, "We Indians, we don't scalp them anymore. We just love them to death." But he said, he walked over to a window of the building. It's kind of cool. And he blew his breath on the window. And you could see the breath. He said, "There's my DNA." Wow. And any scientist can go to that window 100 years from now and take their equipment and pull his DNA out of the breath that he blew on that window. Do y'all hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
So this, the true you, the true DNA of who you really are, is coming by spirit, by translation, by being spoken and translated so you can lay hold of and understand who you really are. Oh. All right. I ain't supposed to get this inside. Let's take it a step further. Transfigured. And those three words, transform, translate, and transfigure, is all the same word. Metamorphosis. Changing. The breaking of an atom. That's where change comes. Of this atom. Mm-hmm. They created the atomic bomb, World War II, by scientifically learning how to split the atom. And they took that thing, and some 80,000 Japanese died in a split second. They could take the natural atom and break that thing and compress it and put ingredients with it. It would cause the greatest explosion the world had ever known anything about in those days. It hit Nagasaki, Japan. I'm just a kid. It hit Hiroshima, did the same thing. And to this day, Japan, the offspring of World War II, is still suffering from that split atom that had its beginning in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. And Oak Ridge is still. There is a breaking of the atom in here that causes an explosion that will blow to hell every concept we've ever believed and taught and practiced absolute. That's change. That's metamorphosis. That's being transformed. That's being renewed. Go to the Mount of Transfiguration. And that's what it says, a Mount of Transfiguration, which is metamorphosis. And it said that he was transfigured. And he looked like what? Light? Oh my God, I see about it. It makes my mind want to preach now. I feel sorry for him. But here's the thing about it. The disciples see and they can identify Moses, Elijah, and the man they call Jesus. But now watch this. When transfiguration took place, they all three looked alike. And it wasn't no big deal to them because they went to sleep. So here come the prophets and the law to meet grace, mercy, and truth. All in the same place. The mount. The mountain. Or an order, if you want to put it that way. Or a divine government setting that was so far supersede anything that they had ever known. Yeah. And they said they come to talk to him about his disease. Moses and Elijah. Moses never prophesied anything. Moses pleaded dumb. He said, I can't talk. God said, don't worry about it. I'll give you a voice. I'm going to say something. I ain't never said this. I don't care nothing about Moses. I ain't concerned about Aaron. But it's the voice that is splitting the atom. He called it thunder and lightning in Revelation. It's a revelation, but it's the voice of that revelation. And let me tell you now, and you know that a revelation without the voice to express it don't do nobody no good. It just don't. And we've gone across the country in the last 40 years with a revelation of sonship and kingdom and what have you. And we've had a voice, but it hadn't been the voice that could break that atom and could bring into an expression what we knew was there. We knew that alabaster box contained something. We've never been able to break that thing. Oh God, I feel this thing in my being. There's a voice now, and it ain't just revelation, it's a voice now that is bringing a translation that can take the letter and get out of it the spirit where the life is. There's no life in that letter, and we know that. And I heard Bob say something this afternoon. We take Moses and Elijah and everything under the old covenant and try to parallel them into the new, and it won't work. We used to sing the chorus, every promise in the book is mine. Yeah. I'll tell you now, I'm so glad that it's not. I'm so glad every promise in that book is not mine, aren't you? Really, I am. On the mount or in that setting, majestic setting, when they got through talking. You see, they weren't invited to that mountain. They were invited to stand there and look at it. Now hear what I'm going to say. That's where we've been, at the foot of the mountain, looking at something we knew was there, and we couldn't translate it. We couldn't change it. We know it's there. We've talked about it. I have, and you have, and I know all of you. I know you have, and that's in your heart. That's the cry of your heart. Make this thing real. Bring it into reality. Bring it into a living expression. And the Song of Solomon, she put it this way. Come, north wind, and blow, south wind. Get in my garden and get the spices in my garden over the walls, or bring it into a manifestation through my flesh. You see, the garden is no good hid behind walls. Tell everybody what you are. Tell everyone about your garden. It don't do nobody no good. It's got to come through the flesh. Paul put it this way in Hebrews. He said the veil of his flesh being rent. And I'm telling you now, the only veil that we need to concern ourselves with is the veil of this flesh. The alabaster box that's got the precious ointment ready to spill over into the lives of the whole creation of God. All of a sudden, the law disappeared, and the prophets disappeared, and nothing standing now but mercy and truth. And under the prophets, there was no mercy or truth. Under the law, there was no mercy or truth. Nothing but judgment, guilt, and condemnation. But when the ball game's over, here stands mercy and truth. And in mercy and truth, there's no guilt. There's no condemnation. You can't condemn nobody. It's not there. Love will cover a multitude. I don't care how you put it. And then comes the transformation. You know the story well, and I can read it, but I won't. We're going to be about out of time. Go to Golgotha. The place of the skull. And I can share with you an absolute truth. You'll never know metamorphosis in its entirety until you understand it takes place at the place of the skull. The explosion, if you want to put it that way, the breaking of Adam begins at the place of the skull. For crucifixion was. Now there's a lot of beliefs. I don't know what you believe about. I don't care about crucifixion. Don't matter to me. I know for me, and you know for you. And I've got no argument one way or the other. But if you believe that it was just one man called Jesus went to a place called Golgotha, your belief system is wrong. Because everything that God ever created went to the same place of the skull. When he went, I went. King James says, for by him were all things created. Remember that? It literally says, in him. It does. And you see, I was in him before the him become the Jesus. Maybe you don't, maybe that's not what you understand. That's what I understand. John the Baptist shows up on the scene. And John made a statement. I'm the voice. I'm the voice. I told somebody, I said, he was the voice, but I'm not John. See, John may be saying, I'm the voice, but I'm not the light. But see, that voice lost its head. Can y'all hear what I'm saying now? That voice come to declare one thing, and it said he come to turn the hearts of the children back to the Father. And you know the story of the scapegoat. Under law, two goats. One went to the altar and lost his head. One went to the wilderness. And he better never come back again. Because if he come back again, all Israel knew that God had returned to judge them. So they felt pretty proud because no goat had ever come out of that wilderness until John showed up. You know what I'm saying? That's why they come to John. Baptize me. I don't want this judgment on me. Baptize me. John said, you're funny. Bring me some fruit. Show me that you repented. And I'll baptize you and you'll escape the wrath of God. You see, they knew that when that man came out of that wilderness, clothed in camel skin and eating locusts and wild honey, they knew for the first time in their history that that goat that was supposed to take the judgment into that wilderness and never come back had all of a sudden showed himself again. And they knew now that hallelujah was to pay. That's why they cried, baptize me. That's why you went to church when you were a kid. The preacher made you afraid the wrath of God's going to fall off you. Baptize me. Take me in. Let me be part of you. And they got so strong in Isaiah, they said, we'll make our own apparel. We'll cook our own food. All we want to do is just be called by your name. Anything, let me escape. John came and he lost his head. And I told whoever, I said, look, I understand. I'm a voice, but I'm a light. You see, and I'm a life. The voice, the life, and the light are all three. They're all three. And you see, we've spoken without speaking out of light in days gone by. We've used this, everything we knew how. And we've studied and searched everything we knew how. And so we would use this and we would feel that unction. And man, we would declare it. But you see, there wasn't the light. The translation of it wasn't coming clear. And it wasn't breaking the atom in anybody's life. It wasn't changing anybody's life. It may change some of the thinking, but it wasn't changing anybody's life. How many know if we went to church on Sunday and on Monday, we just like we wouldn't went to church on Sunday? Oh, amen? I don't mean we're bad folks. No translation. If there's no translation, there's no transfiguration. And if there's no transfiguration, there's no transformation. And if there's not a Golgotha, it won't ever happen. We need to. And I say what I say in the love of God, much as I know in my heart. We need to understand this. I do. That Golgotha, the place of the skull, wasn't the place of the beginning. It was the place of the finish. That's where the mind, the place of the skull is the place of the mind. Be you transformed by the Golgotha experience. Be ye transformed by going to the place of the skull. And if you are, when you do, all of a sudden, you'll hear some shaking going on the inside.
Yes.
You'll hear some atoms breaking. You'll hear some explosion going on. And then you can go to Revelation and see what he was talking about. And he said, I saw the temple open in heaven and earthquakes and thunders and lightning and hailstones. It's all there. I'm ready, as much as I know how, for the breaking of the atoms. And I believe we'll begin to experience it in a measure. And it would be foolish, and we all know this, to try to get everybody to understand that. But I tell you this, and you know this in your own heart. The spirit of truth in you is not afraid of a stranger it meets. It don't matter if you ever heard it before in your life or not. It don't matter how it sounds. And some of it won't sound too good. Because it's come to oppose. It has come, the stranger will come to oppose. I remember Matthew, and I'm going to quit. Matthew, when Matthew 5, when he made a statement, and it bothered me, he said, agree with your adversary quickly while he's in the way. Y'all remember that? Well, man, I was always told an adversary with the devil, whoever that is. Do y'all suppose we might be guilty of shadow boxing something we don't even know who he is? Man. Well, you know, I'm fighting the devil. Devil, you can't do it. Devil, you can't. Devil, you can't. It's amazing how devil conscious we've been, isn't it? Where was I at? Agree with the adversary. He said quickly while he's in the way, while he's there. While he's confronting you, while he's looking at you, you better agree with him. So I was having an experience living here by myself, and in those days I was making the transition. I had laid down my crowns and I was in the transition of picking them up. And I've been having some awesome experiences. And that scripture come at me. And I thought, well, what are you trying to tell me here? Agree with the adversary? I ain't got one. I proceeded. And you see, the adversary is the spirit of truth. That's all. And the word adversary literally means one who stands in opposition or to oppose you. How many have ever had that experience? You stood there and he stood there. And y'all had y'all powwow, and when y'all powwow was over, he's still standing there. And it gripped my heart. And he said, you've got a choice. Now, you're not going to be down forever if you don't. But he said, if you don't agree with him, there's going to be somebody to take you to jail.
Yep.
Now, hear this. There ain't nobody in God's world can pray you out of that situation. You can fast till you fall dead. You can have everybody in the country lay hands on you. I don't care what you do. He said, you're going to stay there until you've paid the utmost fine. And I found myself since then starting to lay my hands on someone. I said, wait a minute. I'm not going to lay my hands on you until I know why you're there. And I'm not mean. I'm not cruel. But we need to hear this. This thing of going laying hands on everybody just because they've got a problem, we need to know why the problem is there. Not to condemn. You don't condemn nobody. I don't. You can. I don't come there to accuse. But me lay hands on somebody because they didn't agree with the truth or the spirit of truth and try to get God to release them, it's a lost cause, folks. He ain't going to do it. And I'm not so certain what a lot of people with physical things in their being could very well be, because they just don't want to agree with a stranger they don't know how to deal with. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I ain't never said this. But here's where brotherly love continues. You meet that dude, you ain't never met him before. Come on in. Oh, no, you don't. I don't know who you are. You don't look right. You don't sound right. You better agree with him. Let me ask you this. What have you got to lose if it's not truth? What is it to be afraid of? Tell me now, what is it to be afraid of? So what if he knew age, old age, or no age, or past age, or what difference does it make? You're the light of God. You're the life of God. You're the voice of God. What difference does it make who you confront? It just doesn't. I said, okay, I'm going to agree with the adversary. Columbus is 30 miles over here. And I live by myself. And when I get a chance to eat a good meal, somebody cooks a meal besides me, ask her. So somebody in Columbus invited me to dinner one Saturday evening. Man, I'm coming. We're going to have steak. I don't know what we're going to have. We're going to be good. I got dressed about 5 o'clock. Walked to that door and put my hand on the doorknob. And I heard this voice. It's as plain as I ever heard anything in my life. And he didn't say, don't go. He said, agree with your adversary quickly. I said, oh, God. Now you say you believe something? Get ready to experience it. And you see, you're going to find out if you believe it or not when it comes face to face with you having to experience it. That's why our words have been just hollow sounds so many times. I stood there a moment. I turned the doorknob loose. I mean, I stood there a moment. I said, and he never said anything else. But in here, it was just as loud as him sitting there talking to me. Remember, agree with your adversary. And I dropped the doorknob. I walked back in and I cried. And I found out then he don't care if I cry. Everybody used to sing me a song. He'll dry your tears. He didn't dry mine. He ain't dried them yet. They sung a song, no tears in heaven. Oh, yes, there is. But I got some there. Yeah. Went back to telephone. I didn't know what to tell people. They're going to think I'm crazy. I can't say I can't come until I got to agree with my adversary. I didn't go. And it was a few days until the true reward of agreeing with the adversary come to my house. I don't know about you. Yet I do know about you. I know you're here. And I really appreciate him starting that song a while ago. We've been summoned here. Not to hear a great oration of some preacher, but to hear a voice and to see the wind blow in our garden and to hear a word that'll break that alabaster box and let the treasure that's been there all this time open itself up. Begin to show itself as it really is. I'm telling you, folks, we're now ready to know what he means when he said, life more abundantly. He wasn't talking about house and land. He's talking about a life that's so far beyond anything that anybody had ever told us about, because they didn't know. But I'm telling you now, from these gatherings, there's something welling within me. And it's almost like yeast and dough. I can feel that stuff spreading and blowing and rising and blowing up. I ain't no telling what might happen.